book of Numbers and the chapter 10, the portion I read together. The book of Numbers and chapter 10 is what we want to look at tonight, especially the first 10 verses. I'm sure you picked up the theme that's mentioned here. It's really talking about the silver trumpets. The silver trumpets that Israel had, that Moses had to make for the people. And if you want to speak on these trumpets here tonight, let's look to the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great hymn we've been singing. I've heard a joyful sound. And Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We pray tonight that many in this congregation will hear that message. Lord, more importantly, they will heed the message. And they will come to Christ, Lord, with all their heart. We pray you give us a Holy Spirit of the living God. We pray you fill us, Lord, your people, fill me with power to preach the word you've laid upon our hearts. And may it be a word in season tonight. We pray you glorify thy great name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone here, no doubt, has heard of that dear lady Fanny Crosby, who was born in New York to poor parents. It's recorded that this dear girl at 6 weeks old, she caught a cold and developed inflammation of the eyes. When they sent for the family doctor, he was not available and another person came. And he prescribed a cure that he thought would help this dear woman, or this dear girl. But the procedure that he proceeded to administer onto this girl blinded her. And as a young girl, she lost her sight. But we know as her eyes were closed to the things of the world, God, by his grace, opened her eyes to the things of Christ. A heart that was closed to Christ was opened by the power of God. And this woman was saved by God's grace. Not only was she saved, she served the Lord. And she served the Lord with what? With that gift that God gave her. Writing hymns. 8,000 to 9,000 hymns fell from the pen of this dear woman. One of the great hymns that came from her pen was called "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Yes, this woman wrote this tremendous hymn, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." No doubt she loved to sing that hymn. But no doubt, my friends, she loved to hear the message preached. "Tell me," she said. "Tell me the story of Jesus." In this congregation tonight, we have come together to tell you the story of Jesus. It is found throughout the book of the Bible, from the book of Genesis right to Revelation. It is full of Christ. It is full of the gospel story. Sometimes if we look at the Bible, we will find the gospel in passages. Sometimes we come to this book and we'll find it in the parables. Sometimes when we come to this book, we'll find the gospel in great gospel texts. There are other times we come and we find it in types. Maybe the sacrifices that we read about in the book of Leviticus. Maybe in the tabernacle furniture. But especially here in the book of Numbers, we see it in the trumpets. God says to Moses to make 2 silver trumpets. God had brought the people out of Israel. God was bringing them through the wilderness. He wanted order within the camp, and so he comes to Moses, and he says to Moses, "Make thee 2 silver trumpets. Although in those Gospels and the trumpets, we have a tremendous picture of the Gospel, of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at these trumpets, you think first of all of the building of these trumpets. You will see the building of these trumpets was the Lord's idea. When God spoke to Moses, they were to be built according to his plan. Look at verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying." You see, this is why we have here Moses going to make these trumpets. God is coming, and he says to Moses, make thee two trumpets of silver. It was not Moses' idea. It was not the high priest Aaron. He did not come to Moses and say, well, you know, we would need to make two silver trumpets. It was not the idea of the people. But it tells us clearly in the verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. This was God's idea. This was God's plan. And he says to Moses, in the building of the trumpet, make two silver trumpets. It was God's plan. And dear friends, is the gospel of Christ not the same? I can tell you tonight, the plan to save sinners didn't originate with man. Didn't originate, my friends, with any prophet. Didn't originate with the angels in heaven. But the plan to save sinners, the gospel plan, I can say tonight, it all came from God. Jonah said, away down in the whale's belly, he learned a tremendous lesson. What did he say? He said, salvation is of the Lord. He learned it away down, friends, in the bottom of the ocean. It's all God's plan. And you can find that even in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and fell into sin, we find, what did they do? They didn't run to God. We find something. They ran away from God. And we find that they ran and they hid themselves. And we find that God came and he says, Adam, where art thou? And dear friends, we can see very, very clearly in the gospel message of Christ, it is God's plan to save sinners. Just like the building of these two silver trumpets. The Lord spake unto Moses. It was his idea. And that's why when you come to the Bible, you'll find in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2, it's called the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. It's all about his message. It's all about his method. How he is going to save sinners. And so the building of the trumpets, they were to be built according to his plan. And the gospel is God's plan. And dear sinners, that's good news. The gospel means good news. You're in your sin tonight. You're far away from God. You're on that broad road that leads to destruction. Well, and you're glad tonight about these trumpets. There's a blast from these trumpets. There's a plan set out in the kingdom of heaven to save your soul and to save sinners and to bring them to heaven. And you know, friends, it's God's plan. They had to be made according to God's plan. They had to be made, of course, or built according to his pattern. And God set out different lessons about the building of these. He set out a lesson about the material in verse 2. Make thee two trumpets of silver. And Moses is told very plainly here what these trumpets were to be made out of. They were made out of silver. They were not to be made out of copper. They were not to be made out of brass. And you can read the book of Leviticus, and there were much of these materials, even brass, among the children of Israel. But he was not to make the trumpets out of brass. No, God says, make them out of silver. You and I know there's a reason behind this. You see, dear friends, silver in the Bible is a symbol of redemption. Take, for instance, a reference to Joseph in Genesis 37 and verse 28. Remember how he was sold by his brethren to the Ishmaelites. It says, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they threw and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. For 20 pieces of silver. Do you see the connection between buying, redemption, and silver? Joseph brought out of the pit, sold to these Ishmaelites, sold by the hands of his brethren. But our dear friends, there was just silver, you see, and the trumpets, they are a symbol of redemption. And I'm glad tonight the gospel is a symbol of redemption in the silver. You only have to read the Bible and you'll find the connection in 1 Peter 1 verse 18. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, but purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Peter writing to those people about their redemption. And he says, notice, how were you redeemed? You were once slaves.
You were once in sin, but you have been redeemed, and you have been redeemed not with corruptible things, not like silver and gold are, but with the precious blood of Christ.
You see, friends, the gospel is redemption. The blood of Christ has been shed to save us. It actually means this here, that make thee two trumpets of silver. It can mean beaten work. This silver was battered and shaped and formed. No dross nor bad metal was allowed. It was pure. It was unmixed. And dear friends, when I think of the silver trumpets of redemption, it's a trumpet of beaten work. We think of the cross. We think of the agony that Christ went through. We think how he was wounded for our transgressions and how he was bruised for our iniquities. We think of how Christ suffered for us. See, beaten work. He was whipped. He was despised. He was nailed to the cross. And the wrath of God, his Father, fell upon Christ. You see the connection between the trumpets? The type of Christ. Type of the gospel, my friends, beaten work. You also see in the pattern, it was to be of one piece. In verse 2, make thee two trumpets of a whole piece, shalt thou make them. One piece of silver was beaten the shape for these trumpets. Just one particular piece. Weren't they add a bit of silver and a bit of this and a bit of that? No, just one piece. Just one piece is God. Oh, as we learn the lesson in a moment or two about the two trumpets, but there was only one piece. Make thee, God says, two trumpets of silver of a whole piece. Just the one. And I want to tell you tonight, friends, there's only one gospel. It's only one piece, you see. Oh, I know when you come to the Bible and you read about God's gospel, you read that it's called the gospel of grace. You read it's called the gospel of God. You read about it being called the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace. But it's the same gospel. It's all one piece, friends. And in that gospel, there's forgiveness for all your sin. Are you all saved tonight in this meeting in your sin? There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness in the gospel. There's one peace. There's life. There's peace. There's mercy. There's love. There's righteousness. There's salvation. Ah, dear friend, all these things is in the gospel. But it's one piece. It's all the one message now. Beaten out with one piece. Paul said to the church, the Galatians, in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, well-known words to every one of us in this church tonight. For though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. That's what Paul's saying. And Paul is really showing us here. There's only one gospel. There's only one message. There's only one hope, my friends, for the sinner. And it's in the gospel of Christ. If anybody preaches another gospel, and there are many people do, he says, let them go to hell. That's what it means, to be accursed. And so in the building of these trumpets, God says, one piece, there's one gospel. There's only one gospel for all men all over the world. Doesn't matter, friends, who you are tonight. Doesn't matter where you're from tonight. There's the same message. Same message for everyone. Also in this pattern, you can see that the trumpets were durable. See, they were made out of silver. They were made to last. You can see that in the verse 8 of this particular chapter. It says, and the sons of Aaron, the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be unto you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. They were built to last. They were made out of silver, you see. They weren't just going to change these trumpets every so long. As long as Israel needed them, they were going to have these trumpets. Dear friends, I'm glad the gospel is still here today. Many years has this pulpit been open to the preaching of Christ. It's 40-something years, and the trumpet of the gospel has still been preached. Not great. In this town, in this congregation, in this building, the trumpet has still been blasted. The message is still being proclaimed. You see, the Bible talks about, in Revelation 14 and verse 6, about the everlasting gospel. It goes on throughout the ages. The gospel has been preached for thousands of years now. And people have preached the gospel and have told people how to be saved and to come to Christ.
You see, make them the trumpets out of silver. It teaches us, friends, that the gospel would be here today, be here tomorrow, you know.
As long as you and I in this land will have the trumpets, we'll have the gospel. Also, in the pattern here of silver, I see another lesson that they were valuable. They were made out of silver. Certainly it was an expensive substance. They'd make them out of wood. They'd make them out of copper, as I said earlier on, a previous point. But they're made out of silver trumpets. Oh, friends, that teaches us something of the richness of the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians 3 and verse 8, it talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, in the gospel of Christ, there's riches. There's eternal riches. Oh, there's the riches of forgiveness of sins, of His grace, of His mercy. Even my friends of everlasting life. Oh, tremendous message is the gospel. It is valuable. It saves men and women, the message. Takes them away from their sin. And brings them at last to heaven. Even in the very material of the gospel, of the trumpets. They were valuable. You can also see in the pattern that there were two trumpets. There were two. But let me tell you this. They were the same. And they made the same sound. Oh, they didn't make two different. No, there's brass bands. Maybe some people here, that it's in a brass band. You have a different trumpet than someone else, and different sounds, and all the rest. But here are two trumpets. And God is saying unto Moses, make thee two trumpets of silver. But I want to say to you, oh, these trumpets of one piece, they had the same sound. The same sound came from these two trumpets. It has been suggested that these two trumpets may be the two dispensations, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people try to tell us in the Old Testament they had a different message, they had a different way of salvation than the New Testament. I want to tell you that's not true. There may be an Old Testament and New Testament. There may be ceremonial laws, there may be ended in the New Testament. But it's the same trumpet. The same sound. And the trumpet, my friends, in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. Get to Christ to be saved. The New Testament trumpet, it is the same message. That you've got to get to Christ to be saved. Even in the pattern here of the two trumpets teaches us, my friends, something of the gospel throughout all the ages. That's the same message. Think of that great text in Isaiah in the Old Testament. Look unto me. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Beside me, there's none else. To be saved today, you've got to look to God. You've got to trust Him. And so the building of these trumpets will teach us different lessons about the gospel. But I want to look at the blowers of the trumpets, because God, who tells about the building of them, tells us who will blow them. And it says here in the verse 8, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And God is very specific in this. He says to Moses, make these two silver trumpets of one piece. Now he says, hold on. Here's a man who's going to blow them. He says, the sons of Aaron will blow these trumpets. And dear friends, the blowers of these trumpets were sons of the high priest. They were the one who had to take each one. There were two, and two of the sons were to take these trumpets. And they were to blow them. No one else was to blow these trumpets at this particular time. God is very specific. God is saying, the sons of Aaron shall blow the trumpets. Oh, friends, there's another lesson here for us. It's only the sons of the great high priest can blow the gospel trumpet. Our land today is full of so-called ministers. But they're not the sons of the great high priest. They haven't been called to blow the gospel trumpet. That's why they give an uncertain sound. That's why it is. They haven't been set aside. They're not a son of God. Only those who are sons of the great high priest, only those who are the sons of God can blow the gospel trumpet, and no one else. In Philippians 2 verse 15, it talks about God's people, that you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and preserved nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And he's talking about all of God's people. And he's talking about them shining for Christ. But he says in that particular verse, the sons of God, the sons of Christ. I ask you, child of God, do you blow the gospel trumpet? Are you a witness? If you're saved, if you're a son of the high priest, then you can blow the trumpet. These men also, not only were the sons of the high priest, they were called to. You can find in Exodus 28 verse 1, God is very specific. He's calling out a people to be priests. He's calling out a people to minister unto him. And he says in Acts 28 verse 1, and take thy auntie Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with thee, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, and gives their names. And so we find here these people who will blow the trumpets, that they have been called to blow the trumpet. This is not an office they have put on themselves. It says, well, I would like to have a blow at that trumpet. I think I could do well. I think I've got plenty of wind. I can make a good blast. Listen, they had to be called to blow the trumpet. They had to be called to do this by God. It's only a man of God who God has called can blow the gospel trumpet. In Romans 10 verse 14 and 15, it says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And God in his mercy calls people. Just the common 5-8 people. He calls them. He saves them. He calls them. And then, dear friends, he sends them out to preach the gospel. He sends them out, in a sense, to blow the gospel trumpet. But our dear friends, to blow this trumpet, we find these men, they had to be sons of the high priest. They had to be called to blow the trumpet. Though all of us, in some measure, has been called to be a witness. I'm not saying everybody in this meeting is called to be a full-time preacher. It's not true. But you know you're called to be a witness. The Bible says in Isaiah 43 verse 12, the Lord says, I have declared and have saved, and I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God, you see. And friends, we have to be called. We have to be called to blow this gospel trumpet. You know something, there's people in our province tonight, and they couldn't blow their nose, but they're making an uncertain sound with the gospel. They're taking the Bible and they're blowing a false message. They've never been called. They're not a son of God. You find that these priests also in Numbers 8 and verse 7, how they were consecrated. How God was very specific to these men. He's going to take on this job that you and I will probably say, well, give it to so-and-so. He'll blow the trumpet. So they can do nothing else. We'll give it to anyone if anybody can blow the trumpet. But that was not the case with God. No, God was very specific. God said to be sons, and the Lord said they had to be called and had to be consecrated, because in Numbers and our chapter 8 and verse 7, he says, this shalt thou do unto them, to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them. Let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. God was having through the whole process. These men, to serve God, and to be in the priesthood, they had to be cleansed. They had to be set apart, you see. And these sons of the high priest, these men who were to blow the trumpets, had to be set apart, they had to be clean. And dear friends, we do know that the servant of God who is to call to blow the gospel trumpet must be clean. He must be clean. Now, I'm not speaking about sinless perfection, because none of us will ever be that in this side of eternity. But the one who is to witness for Christ and to blow the gospel trumpet, you must be set aside from sin and things of the world. You must be. If you don't, you'll be safer to keep quiet.
terrible testimony if you're known to be a sinner, and then to seek to blow the gospel trumpet and to proclaim, well, here's what you've got to do. You've got to come to Christ and you've got to trust Him, and your life is not right.
You must sure to keep quiet, because they're laughing behind your back. There it is, these men were set apart by God to blow the trumpet. And God said, be clean. In fact, in Isaiah 52, verse 11, it says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. There's to be this cleanliness in our life, this purity, this holiness of our life. If I'm going to be a witness for Christ and child of God, if you're going to be a witness for Christ, then we've got to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. If I'm going to make the gospel sound and tell people about Christ, then my life must add up. And if it doesn't add up, it's safer not to blow the trumpet. You see, God is very specific about these men. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. It's them that will blow with these trumpets. You see, the blowers of the trumpets, they were people who were sons and called and consecrated. I'm glad the Lord has given me that task to blow the gospel trumpet. I didn't take it on myself. All the men in our free church who are ministers, who are missionaries in our church, did not take on this job ourselves. We were called. Called by the grace of God. And we're glad in our pulpits today throughout our church, we have men who have been set apart. Men who has been called, who have heard the call of Christ to blast the gospel trumpet in order that you might be saved. God sets people apart to blow it. But can I say lastly about the blowing of these trumpets? You will find that these trumpets were to be blown at certain times. In this chapter 10, the Lord gives certain instructions to when they were to be sounded. And you can draw a parallel lesson. I mean, it's a typical message tonight about the trumpets, but you can draw gospel lessons about the blowing of these trumpets. And the first one I want to look at is the appeal in blowing of the trumpets. You will find that these trumpets, when they were to be blown, in order to gather the people together. You see, when Moses wanted the people all at the door of the tabernacle, how was he going to get the congregation? How was he going to get the message out to the people that was all over the camp? Well, here's how he got them out. You can see, my friends, there in verse 2 of this particular chapter. Make thee two trumpets of silver and a whole piece. Thou shalt make them that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. In the verse 3 as well, and when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It talks in verse 4 about the princes being called by these. In verse 7, but when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow. And so here we have the trumpets being blown as an appeal, as an invitation. And they were sounded out. And they were, when they were blown in this fashion, the invitation was, says, come to Moses. Moses is looking all the people at the door of the tabernacle. You see, they were blown as an appeal to gather the people together. Oh, dear friends, is that not the gospel call? We were singing tonight, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come. Come unto me and rest. You see, in the gospel, it's blasted out that you would come to Christ. You say, I'm in my sin. Yes, the Lord knows all about your sin. You say, tonight I have rejected Christ time and time and time again, maybe for many years. Yes, I want to say tonight, the Lord knows all about that. But our friends, in the gospel, it's blasted out, come to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the call of the gospel. To call the people together, they blasted out with these trumpets. Oh, dear friends, tonight we say to you, come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ with all your sins, that you might be saved. You've heard that gospel sound many times. How many times you've sat and you've heard the call of the gospel. The preacher has changed, but all the message is still the same. He lifted up the gospel trumpet. He blasted it out for you to come to Christ, but you haven't come. You haven't come, my friend. You're still in your sins. You're still lost without Christ. But tonight be blasted again for you to come to Christ. To come the way you are, friends, that you might be saved. He says, blow them to bring the people to Moses. And we preach the gospel, not that you would come to any particular church, but you would come to Christ that you might be saved. And there was the appeal in the blowing of the trumpets. And there was the alarm in the blowing of the trumpets, you'll see in verse 5. And when ye blow an alarm, and you'll find that again in the verse 6. And when ye blow an alarm in verse 9, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And so there were different sounds, of course. They were not the same sound, same trumpet. One was an appeal. They knew all about the sound that meant to come. But they knew this one too, friends. There's an alarm. There's danger. I don't know, was the enemy approaching? Going to attack the people, the wives, the children, and someone saw the enemy, and they lifted up the trumpet, and they blasted out, alarm, there's danger ahead. You see, they blew the trumpet. You know, the gospel is also an alarm. It's to warn you. It's to warn you. I tell you tonight, the Lord Jesus blasted the gospel trumpet. Oh, the one who's full of love and full of mercy and full of grace. The times he preached and he lifted up the gospel trumpet and he says in Matthew 23 verse 20, 33 to these old Jews, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? He blasted out the warning. If you continue in your sin, if you continue to reject me, if you continue to go on as you go in this world without me and in your sin, you'll lose your soul and you'll be lost. See, dear friends, in the gospel there's an alarm. Christ said in Luke 13, verse 5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, dear friends, in the gospel we warn you. Why we say come to Christ and be saved? We also say if you don't come, you'll be lost. You continue. You don't have to do nothing to lose your soul and to go to hell. Just stay the way you are. That's what the devil's quite happy. Just sit and don't worry about coming to Christ and don't worry about repenting. Just stay the way you are. So the gospel warns you. It tells you to turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die? And we sound the gospel and we preach the gospel to warn you. If you go on the way you're going on, you lose your soul. Are we unkind for doing that? Tell me, when these two priests lifted up the trumpets and they blew them, maybe people were in bed. Maybe they're having a good sleep and they blast that trumpet. Do you think anybody would be angry and say, what are you blowing that trumpet for and getting you out of bed? Wonder if we're glad to hear it. Don't be angry, my friends, at the gospel message. It's all for your good. That it might awaken you to come to Christ. There's danger ahead if you go on without Christ. Are you going to go on ahead? Are you going to go on in your sin? Are you going to run on down that broad road that leads to destruction? We sound out the gospel to warn you that you might be saved and come to Christ. You'll also find that these were sounded at the altar. You see in verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginning of your months ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And so it's talking here about the sacrifices, the blood, the altar. The blood was shed. But do you find something what was happening here? They blew the trumpets. These men were blowing the trumpets when the sacrifices were being made and the blood was being shed. These men, they blew the trumpets. Ah, dear friends, when we blow the gospel trumpet, we tell you about the blood. We tell you about Christ's love, His mercy. And how He died upon the cross. And how He shed His blood. And how He can save. I believe Jesus saves. And His blood washes whiter than snow. And we're saying to you tonight, as we preach the gospel, we preach Christ crucified, the very text behind His pulpit. We tell you about the blood. Do you see a connection? Do you see this here in the passage? The altar, the peace offerings, the offerings, the trumpets, That's the message of the gospel. That Christ died for us according to the scriptures. There's no other hope for us. There's no other way to eternal life. There's no other way, my friends, to be saved. But only through the blood, only through the blood of Christ. And so we preach the gospel. You'll find also about the blood, about the advancement in verse 5. It talks about them that to go forward. We see them going forward. There was this blowing that the people would move forward, I'm saying. In the gospel, when it's blue, my friends, that we go forward. Did Christ not say, follow me? Follow me. Can I say this to you tonight? Who are you following? Can I ask you that? Who are you following? You're following someone tonight. Can I say to you who and where are you following people tonight? Where are you heading to? You see, the gospel has sounded out that we would advance, that we would go forward. And all that you would go forward with Christ and go forward with God. Think about this in the measure, even with assurance in verse 9. It says, and if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. And God is saying here, listen, when you go out and there's enemies, just blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. And you'll be saved. You'll be saved, my friends. The Lord would hear the cry, and the Lord would come, and he would save them from their enemies. And dear friends, this teaches us about the assurance of the gospel. And see, I believe Jesus saves, not just for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but you know, he saves forever and ever. And I give unto them, not just people, eternal life, he said. And they shall never perish. You see, friends, the blowing of these trumpets teaches gospel lessons. You see, the verse 10, it says, and in the day of your gladness, I tell you this, the gospel's good news. How you, a vile sinner, and myself can be saved. How we can get everlasting life. How we can be taken from the scene of time to heaven. Listen, it's all in the gospel trumpet. We blast it out tonight to you, my friends, the best we can, that you would come to Christ, that you might be saved. Would you not listen? Are you going to go on in your sin? What are you going to gain by going on without Christ? What are you going to gain by putting your hand over your ears, spiritually speaking, and cutting out the sound that Jesus saves? What are you going to gain? As you go on and on without Christ, the death could come and take you away to a lost eternity. Oh, I said to you tonight to come to Christ. Blow the gospel. The gospel trumpet that you come to him. Would you not come and trust him? If I can help you, speak to me tonight. If you've heard his voice, if you've heard the gospel trumpet, come and trust him. With all your heart, he'll save you. And he'll give you everlasting life. May the Lord write his word upon all of our hearts. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel. We pray that it would write upon our hearts. We pray for those who's not saved, that they'll hear your voice tonight. They'll hear the blast from the gospel of Christ to come to him. And may they not go on in their sin, but may they by grace repent tonight and believe the gospel. Be with us now, Lord, we pray. We pray you'll take us to our separate ways. May the hand of blessing be upon us all. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.